Today's first reading is from Jeremiah, chapter 20, verses 7 through 13. Jeremiah accuses God of forcing him into a ministry that brings him only contempt and persecution. Yet Jeremiah is confident that God will be a strong protector against his enemies and commits his life into God's hands. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out, I must shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is all around. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed, and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble, and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise to the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 69, verses 7 through 10, 11 through 15, and 16 through 18. Surely for your sake I have suffered reproach, and shame has covered my face.
I have become a stranger to my own kindred, an alien to my mother's children.
Zeal for your house has eaten me up. The scorn of those who scorn you has fallen upon me.
I humbled myself with fasting.
Put on sackcloth also, and become a byword among them. But as for me, this is my prayer to you. At the time you have set, O Lord, in your great mercy, O God, answer me with your unfailing help. Let not the torrent of waters wash over me, neither let the deep swallow me up. Do not let the pit shut its mouth upon me. Hide not your face from your servant. Be swift and answer me, for I am in distress. Today's second reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 1b through 11. In baptism, we were incorporated into the reality of Christ's death. Our lives in the present are marked and shaped by his crucifixion, just as our lives in the future will be marked and shaped by his resurrection. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died for to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for the third Sunday in Pentecost is taken from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus warns his disciples that their ministry in his name will meet with opposition, requiring absolute trust in God and an unswerving commitment to the Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. What you have heard whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. This morning is a continuation of the cost of discipleship. That is, we're hearing as Jesus sends his disciples out to proclaim the gospel, the good news of God's breaking into the world with grace rather than law. He sends them out as if they were sheep among wolves. But we are not living in the first century. This is 2017. Being in Christ today, being a Christian, has its own unique challenges and burdens. So last Sunday, we pondered the nature of being in Christ as if it were more relaxed, non-confrontational, and we were folks who sought to understand the opinions of another person, the faith of another person, rather than imposing our faith on them. It was kind of like Christianity today is very passive, non-assertive. But this morning, again, our text begs us to apply this radical gospel to our context, to our day. So first, let's ask the question, what is the gospel? And how does it relate to our lives? Well, the Apostle Paul is the great spokesperson and interpreter of what God has done for us in Christ. And in his letter to the Romans, whom he was hoping to visit, but ended up visiting in chains, in prison, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, of the power of the gospel. It is God's righteousness for salvation to all who believe. What? It is God's righteousness, God's salvation for all who believe. Well, I think Paul wanted us to know a very simple truth, and that is this. God gave us salvation through Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. In other words, we are the beneficiaries of Jesus' work, not our own. We have been gifted by God's grace through his own Son to be free from sin, death, and the devil. And not only that, we've been invited to live with God forever in God's kingdom. I'd like to invite you to turn to page 280 in the front part of your hymnal, the little numbers at the bottom. It's the funeral service. 280. And at the top of that page, you'll see the heading Thanksgiving for Baptism. When we conduct funerals, we celebrate the gift of our baptism. And it describes beautifully what the gospel is all about. So, in that first paragraph, I'm going to read it in a kind of a first-person nature. I'm going to substitute my name for we. And I want you to think of your own name when it says we, or he, or she. And it goes like this. When Terry was baptized in Christ Jesus, he was baptized into his death. He was buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, Terry too might live a new life. For if he has been united with Jesus in a death like his, he shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So, in the context of God's grace, Jesus' love for God, Jesus' faithfulness to God, becoming our benefit because of God's righteousness, we walk in this new era as being in Christ. Our situation in life has totally changed because of our baptism. So having been made right with God through faith in Jesus, what does it mean for us to walk in this life, in this context? Well, first of all, it means that the biggest problem of your life has been solved. Death no longer has dominion over you. You need not fear the grave. That is one big message for Christians. And secondly, we can be honest about sin and suffering and troubles on this side of heaven because we know we have someone who is fighting for us. We know that in Christ we are not alone to fight the battles that destroy, hurt, kill, shame, and trouble us until we are no longer troubled in the grave. That means that we can talk about suffering, pain, and sorrow in a way that builds up. I found a quote that I really like from Leo Tolstoy, the great Russian literary giant. He wrote War and Peace, and he also wrote Anna Karenina, and I'm sure many others. But he has this awesome statement in the first few lines of his book, his novel, Anna Karenina. It says, "All happy families are alike. Each happy family is unhappy in its own way." What a statement. All happy families are alike. Each happy family is unhappy in its own way. Peace with God in Christ allows us freedom to take the shame out of mistakes, to take the shame out of struggles that we go through, and begin to forgive as we have been forgiven, to build up, to listen, to encourage, rather than stand off, aloof, as if we are perfect, as if nothing is wrong with us. In Christ, you are called to lift up the world, individuals, because you have been lifted up. In Christ, you are invited to take up your cross and follow Jesus. In that movie, The Shack, some of you have read the book and saw the movie. In that movie, there is a moment when Mac, I think the guy's name is Mac, who's struggling with a lot of stuff. He's out on a lake in a boat. And what's happening is all of the bad things about his life are crashing in on him, and the boat is taking on water, and he's going down. And Jesus is walking on the water, and Jesus reaches his hand out to Mac to pull him out of this mire, this terrible despair that he can't get out of. He reaches his hand down, and he takes Jesus' hand, and Jesus says, "Let's get out of this mess," and pulls him out. What a great image of what it means to be in Christ. Listen to the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit will give you the marching orders for you to be one who will lift up the world in Jesus' name. So we can be honest, first of all, about our troubles, because we need not fear death, and we are in Christ, our helper. And then secondly, the gospel has profound relevance for our day, for our context. And the clue was in the gospel text this morning when we heard, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny?" A sparrow, the littlest bird, not the littlest, but there's so many of them we don't think about them much at all. Two sparrows sold for a penny. And the idea is, if God cares for the sparrow, how much more will God care for you? When I was, for the last two summers, I've had the privilege of assisting a couple who have been vacation Bible school leaders for a Native American First Nation community called York Landing, way up in the north end of Manitoba, 900 miles from Minnesota. And in that community, they have a favorite song. that comes out of their Vacation Bible School experience. And it's called God Sees the Little Sparrow Fall. And these are the words. God sees the little sparrow fall. It meets his tender view. If God so loves the little birds, I know he loves me too. He paints the lily of the field, perfumes each lily bell. If he so loves the little flowers, I know he loves me well. God made the little birds and flowers and all things large and small. He'll not forget his little ones. I know he loves them all. Think of yourself in the context of living on a reserve and not having everything that everybody else just takes for granted. You feel like a little sparrow, and you often feel like you're falling. So the clue for us is the little ones in our world need to be acknowledged, need to be helped. So the following comment from me is not a criticism of our political system or any particular political party. In fact, I'm grateful to God for all who participate in whatever political party you are involved in. But the following is a pastoral admonition to care for the little ones in the world. So when we as God's people, by our silence, put money and power in the hands of those who already have more money and power than 90% of the world, when we do that by taking money from those who have little or no means to cover their daily bread, then we are in Christ. Then we in Christ ought to be so offended that we say something, that we do something to change that formula. Love, the love of God in Christ compels us to speak for the little sparrows and the vulnerable, voiceless people in our world. Because we are saved by God's grace as a free gift, we are obliged to freely and generously help those who are burdened by the cares of this world. When our government turns itself away from the vulnerable, the poor, and the voiceless, and the immigrant, those who bear the cross and follow Jesus cannot be silent. I was so impressed by the Vacation Bible School children who not only had fun learning about the gospel and Jesus, but then during the week, they got ready to pack boxes, Christmas boxes, that go for children who probably would not have as great a Christmas if they hadn't received that box. Little children teach us. They lead the way. I think it's time to turn things up a notch as Christians for the little sparrows of our world. And I think what we need to do is, by God's grace, number one, speak the truth in love. Get involved as a Christian in grassroots politics. Speak your peace in love for Christ. And then secondly, be as proud as of your giving to others as you are of your awesome care for this church and its property. Continue to be a leader in giving to world hunger. I hope the day comes when your new pastor is sitting at the Synod Assembly and all of a sudden he hears, Bethesda Lutheran Church, Malmo, is the Holy Cow Award winner for this year because you've given more per capita to world hunger than any other church in our synod. If that happens, your pastor is going to stand up and he's going to say, "Holy cow, I had no clue what a generous group of people this faith community at Malmo is." So, finally, the challenges of being a Christian in today's world are not unlike the challenges of the first century Christians. They are urgent, they are many, and they are achievable when the body of Christ shows up to carry the cross of the little ones. In Jesus' name, amen.